FathersOfMultiples.com. Welcome to Double Talk. Once again, I am Michael Kaufman, father of twins, and your host. We're halfway through October, and it's finally starting to feel like fall here in New York City, meaning that the weather is all over the place. Yesterday we had in the lower 60s, and it's supposed to be in the 80s tomorrow. I apologize for anybody who's not on Fahrenheit, but I'm not going to do the calculations for you. It seems the only constant that we have here is that everything from coffee to diaper cream is available in a limited time only pumpkin spice variety. Before we get started, I want to repeat our hopes that everybody out there who's listening is safe and sound after the hurricanes. And we want to make sure that we told everybody that our heart goes out to anyone touched by the tragic shooting in Las Vegas. We're very lucky that members of the team who live in and around Las Vegas were nowhere near the Mandalay Bay when the shooting occurred. And finally, to anyone out there in the way of the fires in Northern California, please stay safe, keep up the good work, keep the families happy and healthy. I know that's a lot of drama to deal with, but we need to acknowledge that these things are going on. And on another cheery note, we appreciate everybody hanging in there through our database problems over the past couple of days with the website. We should be back up and running now, and everything's happy. Now that we've got all that out of the way, let's take a quick look at some of the top posts that we had on fathersofmultiples.com over the past couple of weeks. Our staff writer, Aaron Lunsford, talks to us about the beginning steps in diagnosing to see if your child might be on the spectrum. And Michael Krill takes us hiking with kids and gives us 5 tips for getting out there on the trails with twins, triplets, and any gaggle of kids. And if you're into it, Halloween is just a couple of weeks away. Make sure you check out our Halloween safety tips and download your trick-or-treat checklist to make sure little ghosts and goblins have everything they need for a successful evening of hunting down sweets and treats. And last but not least, if you're looking for a particularly awesome diaper bag, we have you covered. This month's Money Saver has a treat from our friends at Diaper Dude. They have all the best styles, and if you use the special code located in the post, you can get 25% off that order. All of that and way more this month at fathersofmultiples.com. We have a particularly interesting interview this month. Our guest is Brad Murray, and he is our first non-twin guest. Now, it's not that there are no twins in the family or multiples. It's that he and his wife have quadruplets, and they're all boys. I can envision the fathers of twins sitting out there, letting the idea of 4 sink in. Let's jump right into that interview. Brad, welcome to the show. How old are your multiples?
My quadruplet boys are 10 years old.
So, yeah, you got that right. There's 4 of them. So, speaking from everybody out there, myself included, who thinks they are so great because we have twins, we're simply not worthy.
Listen, I never would downgrade anyone else's experience with multiples, whether it's 2 or 4. I always say that kids take all of your time, no matter how many you have. So, having 4 at once, having more kids than you have hands, those sorts of things are it certainly makes it a huge challenge. But we got through it. We're alive. So if we can make it with quadruplets, hopefully some of y'all with twins or triplets or whatever can persevere through those early years.
Thank you for your humbleness, but I personally am kind of, you know, awestruck by the idea. I mean, when we had the twin babies at home, it was insane. Now you got the quads and they're awesome. Did you learn your lesson, or are there more in the family?
Yeah. So, about 15 months ago, we introduced a fifth child into the family. We actually had a miscarried fifth, and then so technically he's our sixth, but Hudson is another boy. We did not think we were capable of having more children, so we never did anything to prevent having kids. And for 9 years, that was a good strategy, but 15 months ago, we were able to be pregnant and successfully carry that baby to term, and so my wife did, and so now we have another one, and honestly, it's really fun to have one after doing four. I'm sure if you start with one, it's overwhelming, and that's understandable. But after having four, having one baby has actually been a blast.
So there's where I made my mistake. I did it in the wrong order. should have had the twins first.
That's right.
I'll make a note for next time.
Next life.
Exactly. Because, you know, this particular shop is closed. thank you. No, thank you.
Nice.
Now, We talked a little bit yesterday, and I want to ask questions about you and your relationship with the boys. How do you make sure that each of the boys' individuality is, you know, how do you embrace that? How do you encourage that?
Sure. Well, we've been blessed with four kids that have a big variety of personalities. We got one gender, so that narrows it down a little bit, but we really do have a wide variety of things that the kids like. And I was really concerned about that when they were very young, to make sure that, although there's four and that's overwhelming and you tend to treat that differently. Just everything is almost groupthink. What works for everybody. You do want your kids to grow up and be well-rounded, to be able to pursue the things that are important to them. So I spent a lot of time worrying about that. But as they've gotten older, I mean, they're going to be 11 in February. As they've gotten older, I've found that that really drives itself. Our job as parents, at least from my view, has been that I just need to make sure I don't get in the way of that. So as I've got kids that are more artistic, I've got one kid that's a writer. He loves to write. He wants to be an author someday. That is so far from who I am that I don't even know, you know, it's like being from a different planet. But I just don't want to get in his way. So I want to provide him all the writing and the artistic outlets that he can get and the tools that he needs to do that. And then he'll just naturally go pursue that, I've found. And so I was worried that I would get in the way. But I think what I've found is our job as dads is to equip our kids to be able to do those things and then just get out of their way, because as they get older, they're going to go do what they want to do if you'll let them anyway.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, as my twins have gotten older, and mine are boy, girl, and, you know, they are very different and have been for years. Mm-hmm. And they each have their own thing that they want to do. And it means that we're running in, you know, two opposite directions constantly. But yeah, they are, I mean, they have found their passion, and I'm sure that they will find new passions as they get older, the way all, you know, people do. And I couldn't be happier about that. And my job as dad, as you just said, is just to, you know, support that and say, this is a great thing. Why don't you try it? Give it a whirl. See if it's your thing. Mm-hmm. And they're happy. Did want to bring up one thing that you said yesterday. As they're four of the same, which I got to say, I'm insanely jealous of, just in clothes shopping. That's a lovely idea. All four boys are still sharing a bedroom, right?
That's correct. So we are blessed to live in a suburban area outside Indianapolis we're able to afford a four-bedroom home. And so with five kids, you would think that would mean they're spread out a little bit, but, as the boys have grown, there was a time frame that we had them in two different bedrooms, two and two. But that lasted maybe a year, 'cause that was when we were trying to get them to nap when they were really little. But since then, they've expressed no desire to sleep in a different room. They don't want to move out. And so, that means they're living in close quarters to one another all the time. We've got two sets of bunk beds in one bedroom that's like maybe 10 by 10, 12 by 10. And then they used to have another room that had their dressers and that sort of thing in it. But now with having another baby, I've got an office for a room. And then I've got some other, I've got a bedroom for the baby and a bedroom for my wife and I. So that really leaves them one room. So we've put in organizer systems into my office and to their bedroom to house all their clothing. But for us, you're right. It's an advantage with having four boys, at least at this point. We don't even separate their underwear. They have one big stack of underwear, and really all their clothes is together in the closet. I would say the only clothes that they have that are theirs are their soccer jerseys and their basketball jerseys that the league put their name on the back of. But even that, I'll catch my son Isaac wearing Brooks' shirt all the time. So, I mean, they share everything, and I'm anticipating getting some blowback on that eventually. But so far, they really don't care. So
yeah. Once they start to roll into those real hardcore teenage years, I suspect that there may be some friction on that front. But I mean,
right.
Thinking about my son now, who's going to be 10 in April. If the clothes are not literally smeared with mud, he's more than happy to just put them on and wear them.
Well, and we've had the advantage too of our boys. The shortest one is about 3 inches shorter than the tallest one. But shirt size and pant size, while it varies a little bit, they've stayed the same size pretty much too. And so I'm assuming Henry will continue to lag behind. It seems like over time, my littlest one, Henry, is a little shorter than the tallest one all the time. And so there will probably come a point where they don't fit in the same clothes too. Shoes have already done that. We've got at least a size and a half difference between the smallest feet and the largest. So those sorts of things will probably drive it sooner than their personalities do even.
Speaking as somebody with, the boy girl variation, count your blessings, be happy.
I got what I prayed for. I wanted four boys when we found out we were having quadruplets. I had several people ask me, and a lot of people assumed I'd want two and two. I think that's kind of what my wife wanted, but I asked for quadruplets in my prayers. And I mean, I didn't ask for quadruplets. Nobody asked for that. but I asked for boys. I just went, if I get my preference, I want boys. I always wanted boys as a dad. And I was very surprised though when I found out that that's exactly what we got.
You definitely got that wish granted big time. That's right. I was talking to my wife about this interview, and it's got to be incredible at their house. You just say go outside and it's a pickup basketball game.
Yeah, that's a huge part of. I think when you and I talked yesterday, I think I mentioned that I honestly regularly. I'm a little bit jealous of their childhood, and that's not to say that I, as a parent, am doing something incredible, and that they, that I wish my dad was as good as me. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just simply that they literally can go play baseball anytime we have free time. They don't have to hope that their friends are available to play some baseball or football or basketball or whatever it is. If we're available, all four of them are available, and they regularly are out. We've had the Olympics here at our house for the last 4 or 5 years in a row now, where they make up medals and everything, and they go out and have all kinds of events. And of course, that comes along with arguments and all kinds of things too. But they are competing with one another all the time. We probably drive our neighbors crazy, but it's a fun way to grow up.
You have to watch out for the German judge every time. That's where the trouble comes in.
That's right.
Oh boy. all right. So yeah, since you brought up about, things that you wished for and things that you love about having, quads, which again, still just, rolls off my tongue and I'm like, no. Is there anything that you don't love about having, about being a dad, period, about having, multiples in the house? Now that you have a singleton, you can start to have a different viewpoint on what the average person goes through.
Yeah, I mean, one of the funny things that comes to mind right away is I thought of this almost as soon as I found out we were having quadruplets, that one of my favorite things to do prior to having kids was going and playing golf. And it's a little cruel to have four boys because golf only allows foursomes. And so literally, if I teach them golf, I'm teaching them to go do something without me because we can't all play at one time. So that was one kind of downside of that. But there's things I can't do. I grew up fishing with my dad a lot. We grew up right on the Wabash River here in Indiana. And I spent a lot of time in a boat with my dad and fishing and in the outdoors. And those sorts of things are difficult with this number of kids. You can't get in a fishing boat and five people fish at one time out of a boat. That's a nightmare waiting to happen. So there are things that other dads that are my friends get to do with their kids that I just don't get to do. But I try to focus that negative down to the positive of it, that there are a lot of things that I get to do with my boys that other people don't get to do too. I mean, how many guys can go out in their backyard with a football, play quarterback, and have two-on-two game where I get to be all-time quarterback? I'm sure they'll kick me out eventually, but right now I'm having a blast with it. Most people that have kids that are spread out in age can't do that sort of thing. And so you just got to take the good with the bad. And having four children at one time and now five, I don't have time to do anything by myself or for myself, but I got plenty of time for that when they grow up and don't have any use for me anymore, I figure.
It hasn't happened here yet, so I'm assuming they want to keep us around for a little while. Right up until the car keys become, fair game, which yeah. As a city dad compared to, living in suburbs or anywhere except, I live in Manhattan. So my daughter, we actually started talking. She's just turned 13. And I asked her if she would want to learn how to drive a car. I said, I'll drive you out to your grandparents' house and teach you how to drive because I'm not teaching you here in the city. And she says, well, I think I should know, but I don't think I'll ever drive in the city. I have you to drive me around and we have taxis. So I think that's that for funny. You.
Well, we're headed towards a society that doesn't need a driver at all, probably.
I'm down with that.
What a different place, though, really. In raising kids in different places, there are different things. Because, I started driving when I was like 8 at my grandpa's farm on the, there's nothing to hit. It's a big wide open field. So I've taken my kids out and done the same thing. My dad would sit me on his lap and we'd drive and there's no traffic because we live in the middle of nowhere sometimes. At least I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I'm a little closer to a metropolitan area now, that's interesting, a different perspective.
There's our book. I'll find somebody here in the city with quads and I'll hook the two of you up. let's close with the question that I ask everybody. And it came out of my own experience because inevitably when you walk into a restaurant or whatever, especially when they're really little and somebody sees that there are multiple kids, they say, for you, quads, wow, how's that working for you? Everybody has some kind of stock anecdotal answer. What's yours?
That's funny because we've had a number of them. And when you start talking about, my first thought was when our boys were very, very little, my wife had a very successful blog going. And it's still up there. We just don't post to it very often anymore. But regardless, she was able to be invited to Disney's social media mom celebration down in Orlando at Disney World for 2 straight years. So when the boys were 3 and 4, we got invited to come down there. And at that time, we had a quad stroller that literally was hand welded and made. These things were like $1,500 new, but it got passed to us by another family. And we were like the 4th family to have it. But it literally was in line, what I called stadium seating. They had 4 seats, one right behind the other, and there were 2 24-inch bike tires on the back and a 12-inch tire on the front. So it's kind of like a jogging stroller, only a lot longer. All that to say, this thing, while it was amazing, I could literally run with it with 4 kids, and I did that some. But it was just so easy to push. You could push it with one finger. So that's what we're taking to Disney World. Well, we take this thing to Disney World. It literally has its own hitch attachment to be able to take it around. And we roll into Disney World in this thing. And I had not even thought about, of course, we had already had lots of reactions at restaurants or, you know, out at stores and things, and know the somewhat ridiculous things that people tend to say out loud when they see multiple kids. But I walked into Disney World just thinking this thing will be easy to push around. Well, it really was like a giant billboard. Everybody come look at the quadruplet 3-year-olds. We one time looked at a guy and said, my kids want to ride on the rides. They don't really want to talk to you. You just get kind of grumpy with it after a little while, because literally everybody's coming up and talking to us. But yeah, things that people ask, like, are they all yours? And I don't know if you guys get that as twins parents, but we literally had people asking us, are they all yours?
It happens.
You just go, I literally told somebody at Disney World that asked me that for like the 14th time that day. I was like, I can't believe that many people would ask me this. But this guy asked me that, and I said, no, I've been finding 3-year-olds all day, and we just keep throwing them in the stroller.
These two were cute, so I picked them up. But,
right. So I didn't have a standard answer for it. I tried to be kind most of the time, but it depended on how annoyed I was.
Question number 12 of the same question, yeah, you start to run out of patience.
Get a little snarky.
Well, I can only imagine what that was like, because, I mean, we had the twins in the double-wide stroller. And yeah, we actually took the twins on a family cruise. And we found out after boarding that the stroller would fit down the hallway of the cruise ship only if you tilted it back so that it would go under that railing, you know, that handicap railing. So anytime we had to like go down a corridor, we had to tilt them all the way back into a reclining position. So I had really good biceps by the end of the cruise.
Yeah, we answered those questions in a variety of ways. I believe I've talked to enough twins parents to know that even with two, you get this question a lot. But the thing that really drove me crazy was all the fertility medication questions that you get. And we had a number. I was never so bold, but we had a number of friends that, it really feels like they're asking you about your sex life. You know, it's just so ridiculous, that the questions that people ask you. And so right in front of your kids too, you know, and we had some friends that would turn around, not answer the question, but turn around and ask them questions about their sex life right there in the store to try to make the point. But like I said, we tried to be kind, we tried to be gracious, and we recognized that if we hadn't had quadruplets and we saw triplets or quadruplets walking through a store, we'd have probably been tempted to ask them
I know we are. So it's like, it's just one of those things. You say it's part of the deal. It's part of the package. You take it and you roll with
That's
it.
Right. That's right.
Well, Brad, thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us. If you've got a photo of that quad stroller rolling around somewhere, we'll put that in the show notes, because now I'm dying to see what this thing looked like.
Yeah, I'll shoot that in. No problem.
You know, if you've got anything to chime in, please reach out to us. We're always happy to hear from somebody who's doing the twin thing twice at the same time. Brad Murray, thank you very, very much for being on the show. As we sorted through the mailbag this month, we found a question from Jason Allman from Florida. Jason writes, thinking of selling tickets and just letting my 3-year-old boys duke it out. The fighting is out of control. Tried timeouts, making them apologize, trying to redirect, reasoning with them, even took away all the toys. Then they fought over clothes, blankets, seats. Please tell me this is just a phase. I know there will always be conflict, but will it let up? Will my wife and I regain a bit of sanity? Well, the bad news, Jason, is that you're not destined to be the next Don King. We don't think that you should go selling tickets quite yet. As most of the parents that we've talked to with twins have the same issue. And for the record, it may not get better for a little while. I know you're waiting for the good news, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be the one to give it to you. All I can share with you is, you know, the obvious answer, which is, you know, buy two of everything. And while that may or may not actually solve the problem, at least there'll be, you know, only one broken toy at a time. What I would like to do is put this question out to everybody who's listening. What do you use in your household to mitigate squabbling? Shoot us an email. Let us know. That's almost it for this month, and I'm probably announcing this a bit ahead of schedule, but there are some incredible contests coming in the next month. So, make sure you visit fathersofmultiple.com and do all the social media stuff like Fathers of Multiples on Facebook and following us on Instagram and finding us on Twitter at MultiplesFather. You really, really don't want to miss these. Don't forget, send your questions and comments to doubletalk@fathersofmultiples.com. I truly want to hear from you. Tune in on the 15th of every month for another podcast with more great stuff from our contributors and an interview with another dad of twins, triplets, quads, quints, or more. Remember to be careful out there during trick-or-treating time. Stay safe, and save me the peanut M&Ms. Have a great month, and we'll see you next time with more Double Talk from fathersofmultiple.com.